Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Tonight is Thursday, May 26th. We are just 1 month into the Rangers offseason. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing very good tonight, and I'm missing my Rangers. I wish they were playing in the Stanley Cup, but we already have one finalist, the Vancouver Canucks, trying to shake that thing they got around them. But congratulations to the Canucks. They deserve it. I'd like to see Luongo shake that choke thing. I don't know. So anyway, yeah. To the short answer to your question, I'm doing very well.
I said on this show at least 2 months ago, I think it was, that I thought Tampa Bay would be a force to be reckoned with in the playoffs. So I'm hoping that they'll win game 7 tomorrow night, go to the cup, and then win the cup and prove me right. And then I'll play the clip over and over and over again after I find it.
So who are you rooting for tonight?
I don't really care. Either of those teams, I'm fine. I don't want the Canucks to win the Stanley Cup. I just don't. The hell with them.
I want Tampa.
I would rather see Tampa win.
Because, you know, I have nothing against the Bruins, per se. But they are, you know, I like to keep their non-cup winning going, you know. Although, you know, and Vancouver, I think you're right in a way. You know, I hate to see those guys with a cup because then they'll, you know. And if they lose, they'll riot, which is always a bonus.
Right.
Tampa, if they can pull it out. But I really think that the West is, you know, just they're playing a different level of hockey than the East. So I think whoever makes it out of the East is going to it's going to have a tough time.
And see, Mario even made another point that I didn't even touch on. Tampa, just for the way they played against Carolina, and the game's tomorrow night, not tonight, by the way.
Oh, shows you how much I know. And I was really impressed that there were so many people here in the game and on a night of a game, but there's no game. So I'm even more impressed that all of you joined us tonight.
They would have been here anyway. These people are loyal.
There's actually a lot. I think there's some things to talk about tonight, even concerning the Rangers. We never really got a chance to talk about the Derek Bougard, you know, I guess autopsy or the reason.
Right. We haven't been on since the results were released.
Right. So I don't know how did you feel about that, finding that out, and
have you ever taken oxycodone?
Yeah. Puts you in you want to get loopy. That's the place to go.
Yeah, I mean it's a harsh narcotic, and I've taken it a few times, and I can understand how someone can get addicted to it. It's a feeling of there's a feeling of euphoria there, and
yeah.
It's a great feeling, and I totally understand how someone can get addicted to it, and for whatever the reasons, whatever pain he was suffering, I saw there was some talk. He had a shoulder surgery that he was dealing with some pain from, and other things. And I've seen a lot of people. There was talk. Well, at least people that said right off the bat, the instant reaction was, well, at least it's not tied, at least not directly, to the concussions he suffered. And then some people said, oh, well, how could you say that? Because maybe that's the pain he was in. Well. While that may be true, we don't know, but I can tell you, and we've had this discussion before on the show when we've talked about concussions, okay? Over the past year, in my household, we've become quite familiar with concussions. And I can tell you that typically oxycodone has not been prescribed for concussions, at least not in my house. And with all of the concussions that we've gone through in this house over the last year, at some point I would think that it would have been prescribed. So I don't know if he was dealing with unless he was self-medicating, which we don't know, and I'm not going to even speculate on. It's tragic, and as I've said before, we didn't know Derek Bougard. Derek Bougard played for the Rangers, I want to say it was 22 games. We barely knew him. We didn't know anything about him until he died, and I just think it's unfair to him and to the people that have been devastated by his loss to speculate on what he was going through that caused him to overdose or accidental mixture of alcohol and oxycodone.
I when we first got the news, we were very, at least I was a little flippant about it. And then, when we did the regular show, then it kind of settled in, and I really kind of felt it. And now I'm kind of sad that this guy had to, he had so much problems that he had to take, OxyContin or oxycodone or whatever they're calling it this week, OxyContin, whatever.
Well, there's a difference between the two.
Okay.
One is, and you'd think I would know this because we had numerous discussions about it on the site. One is a longer lasting narcotic than the other, and I don't remember which is which. But there is a difference between the two.
Now, you see this time after time. I mean, this guy was a giant of a man, and I wonder how much alcohol would you have to drink? I mean, I know nothing about this, in order to give you a fatal, fatal dose, a mixture. I mean, do you have to drink a bottle of Jack Daniels and, down four pills? I mean, you're talking, and it's the same thing with Probert, who battled addiction his whole life as well. These are big men.
Yeah.
And, you don't know. And I have a friend who was addicted to OxyContin, and it drove him to things that I never thought he would do. Like, he was so hooked that, he would go from doctor to doctor and, try to get prescriptions. And if he couldn't, he actually stole a prescription pad from a doctor in order to write himself his own prescriptions.
Yeah.
Which I think failed in the end, and he got caught, and he had to serve some jail time or community service. So,
yeah, I mean, I doubt there's a person in this chat room who hasn't had someone close to them affected by some kind of addiction, be it drugs or alcohol or otherwise. And I think that each one of us could attest to addictions make you do strange things. They make you do, you know, it. You become a completely different person. I mean, and even, you know, a lot of people watch Intervention, and you see what drugs do to people. It turns you into different, and you see, you know, these people that have these addictions on that show, and you see, you know, fathers, you know, and mothers. You hear things like, he was such a happy child. He was my buddy, and I just want that kid back. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. Strawberry Fribbles. Sorry.
You know,
this is what happens when I read the chat room while we're doing this. But it turns people into people doing things that they're not normally going to do. And, you know, like you said, your buddy, you know, was stealing prescription pads, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a felony, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a whole culture of people on the internet that go on these forums like Craigslist, and there's a whole subculture of people looking for painkillers, and they'll meet on street corners strangers to buy. I mean, it's crazy. I was watching Cops the other night. This girl and this woman, she got busted for selling, you know, 500 Vicodin or something like that, and they barely knew each other. And it was just a woman that she met in a beauty salon or something like that, and was willing to sell half a prescription. It's just it's ridiculous, you know, what it drives people to, and sad. And you know, I think we've all seen, you know, I'm sure most of us have you know, have seen it firsthand or secondhand. So. But I guess that was a very long answer to a very good question, you know, and I guess the answer would be, you know, it depends on the person and their tolerance as to how much you can stand, you know. And yeah, he was a big guy. I mean, he was six.
How much? That's what I'm saying.
6'7", 285 pounds.
I mean,
you know,
they don't get much bigger than that.
Right.
I mean, you know, and how much do you have to drink? And I don't know. It's a shocking thing. And I see they're talking about John Kordick. John Kordick was, I mean, he was being restrained by, you know, he died on the way to the hospital. And he was a guy that, you know, he was in a hotel room and had to be physically let out. And his just heart just exploded. I don't know what he was on. He was on some kind of, I mean, he may have been on cocaine or something that would, you know, sped his heart rate up into unbelievable levels. But, yeah, I just don't understand. It seems to be a trend. You know, it's not the Rob Browns or the, you know, these small guys. You know, it seems like these big guys, they live large too, you know?
Right.
And maybe, you know, everything is not sunshine. You know, everybody puts on their game face, you know. You know, literally during life, and it just, God, I mean, I was shocked. I really didn't think it was going to be drugs. I thought it was going to be concussion related. So enough with that topic. And now, let's see, I did it. And now,
Segway, right here.
Segway, right here. So we were talking before the show a little bit about. Now, how Winnipeg is in this league, I still don't know. Is there an official confirmation? Winnipeg, they're going to play. What's going to be their nickname? Fill me in, guys. I've been out of it. I was in the city last night at Roseland Ballroom watching the cars. And in the last couple of weeks, I've been kind of busy. What's going on, Jim? Fill me in.
Here's the last I read on this earlier today. Apparently, the Atlanta Spirit, which is the conglomerate that owns the Thrashers, and True North Sports, which is the group that wants to purchase a team and bring them to Winnipeg. They originally wanted to bring the Coyotes back, and then when that fell through, they immediately went after the Thrashers. From what I understand, they have a deal, and they're just working out some of the small – apparently the money's been agreed on, and they're working out some of the smaller details. The last I heard was that $170 million is the price tag, which to me sounds unbelievably cheap for a hockey team.
It does, right?
I mean, if you consider how many baseball players, right, have signed contracts for more than $170 million, doesn't that seem like an inordinately small amount of money now in the world of sports, which is ridiculous in itself? But apparently, from what I understand, it's $170 million. $60 million of that goes to the NHL for relocation. So it's really $110 million, which seems like even more of a steal. Why don't the Rangers just buy the Thrashers and then merge them with their own team, put Buffalo on the power play, and I think it solves a lot of their problems. And they're just trying to work out a few of the details. Of course, Gary Bettman is denying there's anything in place, and made this very ridiculously cryptic statement yesterday on the radio about how there's nothing to report because there may be nothing to report. So if there's something to report, we'll report it, but we're not reporting anything right now. I mean, that's very close to what he said. I mean, it was like right out of Abbott and Costello, you know. But and part of what I'm hearing is that Bettman doesn't like to make major announcements on game days. And originally, you know, there were games scheduled up until the end of the week. They don't want to do it on a Friday because the group in Winnipeg wants to be able to make the announcement and immediately get down to business of selling tickets. And they want to do that on a business day. They don't want to do it on a Friday on a holiday weekend when a lot of people are going to be heading out of town. The rumor I keep reading is that the announcement will come on Monday. Come Monday, it'll be all right, as Jimmy Buffett used
to say. I think I certainly want them to move to Winnipeg. I had this discussion with Carrie Wilson, I guess about a year ago. I'm going to call up Carrie and see if I can get him on the show again because he lives in the Winnipeg area, and he was really he was a champion for getting a team back there because he really thinks that they have the market for it. You know, people are dying for NHL hockey, and he was really, you know, he even had some harsh things to say for his son, where his son plays in Nashville, you know, about his son Colin. Just, you know, just the atmosphere is just not conducive to hockey. You know, people aren't interested in hockey, not even if it's
from the side.
So I think it's, you know, I think it's a good move to Winnipeg. I think it's a. Now, are you with the return of the Winnipeg Jets, or do you want some other name, other nickname?
Well,
what do you think?
Let's hold that thought for just a minute because I'm glad you brought that up because we'll talk about that. But I just want, you know, I'm hearing a lot of I've seen and read a lot of things in the Atlanta papers and on Atlanta Thrashers websites, things like that, about how, you know, oh, we're getting screwed. This is so awful. We're losing another hockey team, blah, blah, blah. And you know, my argument has always been, well, you didn't show up. This is now the second hockey team you've had that you didn't show up to watch. And I understand their ownership there has sucked from the very beginning. But you know what? You talk about how you're going to lose.
Too late.
You haven't shown up to support them. They had a rally. They had a Save the Thrashers rally on Saturday, okay, this past Saturday. Now, I'll throw this out there because I read this on the SB Nation Atlanta. I read this on, which is a website that covers all the Atlanta teams. And they were saying how it's a great idea. It was in a bad location. And they were really afraid. This was a couple of days before the rally. They were really afraid that it was going to be a really poor showing because it was in a bad location, and blah, 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 blah. 200 people showed up for this rally. You know what? But not only that, if you can only get 200 people, I mean, think about it. If their arena holds, let's say, 18,000, and let's generously say that they have 12,000 people, if they average 12,000 a night, that's... now I lost myself in math. That's two. What is that? I can't even think of the friggin' percentage. 200 out of 200 fans show up. Oh boy, did I blow this? 200 fans show up for a Save the Team rally. I mean, that's a minuscule portion of your average attendance. That's not enough. That's not enough.
75 at a Blue Shirt Banner radio party.
Exactly. There you go. Exactly. I mean, I could yell out my window and hit 200 people if I really tried. I mean, it's ridiculous. And yes, City Hockey Fever said, you know, the ownership is to blame there. But still, if you love that team and you want to see them in Atlanta, you got to show up and support them. Ownership sucks for the Rangers. We know this. But, you know, if for whatever reason tomorrow we all woke up and found out they might be leaving for Seattle, who all of a sudden is a player for an NHL team, you know, I would hope that we could have more than 200 people at a Save the Rangers rally. No,
we had about that the Fire Save the Rally, which of course we did not covered, but we did not organize.
Oh fuck that.
Yeah. But you know, another thing that
don't get me started.
It's not like these guys, you know. But predominantly, they had one of them. I mean, whether we all hate Kovalchuk now that he's a devil, but they had got to see this guy in his prime. If the Rangers had one guy like that, we sell out predominantly most of the times anyway. Although recently it's been a little bit shaky. But if you have an elite player like that that plays 41 home games in your building, you go to see every night. It's not like they had a lot of, you know, all right, granted, they didn't have the greatest team. But now they have a pretty decent team, you know. You got Evander Kane. You got they got a pretty decent goalie in that Pavlik, you know, Andrew Ladd and Bufflin, and they got a. If you don't want to go see that team, then again, bottom line is show up, support your team, go to the games. I don't want to see empty seats night after night. It looks bad, and you know. It's funny because I would love Mandar's take on this because Mandar is a true believer in you never go back to a place where hockey has failed. But then I kind of look at Minnesota because, you know, the Wild are, you know, wildly popular. And they were the North Stars. But a lot of people say that the North Stars management was the problem. I guess they always say that, the location, the management. But really, you can tell. I mean, listen, we have horrible management. I mean, we could have worse management, but fans either love the team and support the team, or they're just you know, oblivious to it. It's like fifth on the to-do list in sports, and I got a feeling down there that's what it was like.
Yeah. Like you said, the Rangers management, there are third world countries in Central America with better management than that organization. But, you know, somehow they persevere because they have a great fan base. And Mandar said it right. He hit the nail on the head twice in the chat room. The North Stars didn't fail. They were moved. And Atlanta just isn't a professional sports town. If you have a baseball team, if you have a professional Major League Baseball team, and you can't sell out your playoff games, That's you're a bad sports town. I'm sorry. That's it. You're gonna tell me? I mean, show me another town in major leagues where they wouldn't sell out a playoff game. But Atlanta can't do it year in year out. 10 years they've been making the playoffs and they don't sell out their playoff games. It's a bad sports town unless you're the University of Georgia and I guess the Falcons. I don't even know if they sell out, but.
I guess when they're winning, they do.
Yeah, maybe. So, okay. So to bring this back around to the question you asked me a few minutes ago about the Winnipeg Jets. You know, originally I was fully on board, bring back the Jets. You know, they got to rename the team the Jets. But I've been reading some articles in the Winnipeg Free Press about, you know, don't bring back the Jets. And now I'm kind of off. Now I'm off that wagon. I think they should start new. It'd be different if they brought back if they had gotten the Coyotes back. Then
right.
Yeah, you can name them the Jets. You bring back the jerseys. You keep the continuity of the franchise history. You know, like a guy like Teppo Neumannin, whose jersey was retired. You know, he played for the Jets.
Right.
to me, you bring the Thrashers up there, you can't really call them the Jets. So I think they're going to be the – well, anyway, the rumor, I mean, I guess the Manitoba Moose is the name. They'll take the name of the AHL team.
I don't want that. See, I'm worried about that. That's why I want to keep the Jets, because I don't want some stupid nickname. But I agree with you on the continuity. It would mess up all kinds of things. It's not the continuation of the franchise under a different name. It's a totally different entity, you know. But Manitoba Moose. Rangers versus the Moose tonight.
Uh-huh.
King Henry.
Hey, Rocky.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull rub out of my hat.
Again?
Yes, sir.
Here's something we hope you really like.
Fat mail from some flounder? I don't know.
Anyway.
I'm trying to look for a Rocky Bullwinkle one. I don't think we have
it. I thought we had a clip in there. I thought we had that. Here's something
we
really like. I thought we had it. Because I was looking for it too, and I didn't find it.
You continue the point, then I'll look for it.
I don't really. I'm out of points now.
Well, all right. Well, let's go.
I'm not a big fan of Manitoba Moose, though, as a team name.
I'm not either.
I'm not a big fan of
its friggin' name.
And I'm not a big fan of using Manitoba.
Yeah, Manitoba. I don't want a province.
Right.
Sorry. Make it. You know. I can't name four other cities in Manitoba. Can anybody?
They just,
I'm sure Winnipeg, Cutter
probably does. Call Winnipeg something. Whatever. Just
Halifax
be Winnipeg.
Is it Manitoba?
No. Halifax is in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, you dope.
Who said that?
It was Rock.
Oh. I don't know. Winnipeg, just call him Winnipeg something. But you want to take some phone calls and then we'll come back, because I know you had an article that sounded really interesting on this subject to talk to as well. And we'll talk about the Rangers signed Christian Thomas, their second round pick last year. Signed him for 3 years, so he'll be in camp trying to earn a position. And they signed their fifth round pick from 2009, goaltender Scott Stager, who was about 6'7" when I met him at the draft. The kid's huge. So I guess he'll be in camp and both trying to make the team. So let's go to the phones. First up, Robbie. What's going on, buddy?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Robbie.
Good evening.
Good evening, good evening. Before I get to ask you things about the Thrash, there is one thing I have to ask you guys. Well, with respect to Kidding here, I was wondering, I'm 17. I don't really know a lot about, you know, drugs and, like alcohol and stuff. I mean, I don't,
What are you trying to say?
I was going to ask you, what exactly caused Bogaert's death? I mean, what exactly did he do? Because I still don't understand it, like, that much.
Well, when you take a narcotic, okay, you don't want to mix it with alcohol. It'll tell you that right on the bottle. Do not mix with alcohol. You know, there are certain sedatives and narcotics. You don't want to mix them with alcohol. And that's what he did. And apparently he overdid it, and it killed him.
Yeah. Some narcotics.
What is it called again?
You know.
Oxycodone.
And so it's like a painkiller, I'm guessing, right?
Yes. It's similar to morphine. It's used to treat moderate to severe pain. The extended release form of this medication is for around-the-clock treatment of pain. It is not for treating pain just after a surgery unless you were already taking oxycodone before the surgery. That's from drugs.com. I had posted that on Blue Shirt Banner. So it's a heavy narcotic, okay, because it's used to treat moderate to severe pain, and it's similar to morphine. Have you ever visited somebody in a hospital and they got the little button with the pain medication? Have you ever seen that or seen
that?
Yes. That's a morphine drip. It's usually controlled.
Oh.
You know, you can't just keep pressing the button and get a steady flow of morphine into you. But that's what that is. It's a very heavy. It's serious stuff.
It sedates you and makes you breathe shallower, and when you. Of course, alcohol is a depressant, which makes you even breathe even less. It just, you know, it's a sedative, and he just stopped breathing. That's basically what happened. You know, he just went to sleep and he never got up. You know, so that's what killed him.
And I think, you know, I said this last week, though, the thing that obviously that really bothers me deep down in my heart is that there were some fans that, you know, didn't really, you know, weren't for him being on the team and, like, you know, made fun of him and everything. And obviously that just really, you know, really bothered me, like, deep down. So, you know, but, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. So what can you do?
No.
It's a bunch of garbage.
Thank you, Paulie.
What's up?
Thank you for being here, Paulie.
Oh, I mean, go on, I'm sorry.
No, Robbie, go ahead. It's your call, baby. It's your time.
I was just saying, you know, I mean, I'm not really, I mean, the only thing that I've done quotes on is I smoked for like 2 days. Not, I'm talking about cigarettes, not, you know.
Oh!
But.
And that's so squeaky clean.
No, I'm not. I'm
a little
not.
Bit rogue, aren't you?
What? Yeah, but that was it, really.
Don't play dad next time.
Oh, yeah. I'm not really into, like, you know, drugs. Even though if you see the kids in my school that drink and everything, it's ridiculous. But anyway.
Hugs, not drugs.
What's up?
I said hugs, not drugs.
Hugs, not drugs. That's good. Yeah, there you go. But what was I going to say? Here we go. With Atlanta. If they move, I'm actually for them with the name the Jets, because that would be my new backup hockey team, because my football team shares the same name as them, so that would be.
He had to go there.
Tick, boom!
He just had to go there.
Did you hear him in the background? Aww!
Kid, the glutton for punishment. He had to bring it to another sport because he's reaching now. Because the hockey season's over, he's got nothing to talk about, so he can't even. So he loves to call in, but then when he starts bringing other sports into it, we gotta blow him up. I'm sorry, you did
Mario
the right
just thing. Said. Mario just said he's gonna start smoking again
for 2 days.
I thought his dad was going to pick up the phone there for a minute. Mr. Guy Lombardo.
Mr. Guy Lombardo.
Hold on. Wait a minute. The best part, Robbie, was you screaming as I boomed you.
Wait, am I still on this thing?
Yeah, I put you back on.
Oh, I didn't know I was on. I was about to say a curse for a nibble.
We're going to curse?
What? No, I was going to be, what the fuck? Never mind.
I'm setting new records tonight.
I really picked up on him just to blow him up again. 347-894, you're on Blue Shirt Band Radio. Who's this?
What's up, guys? It's Rock. How are you?
What's up, Rock? How are you, buddy?
Good. Great show so far. I was really looking forward to your show a week. I'll tell you, I can't get it. I watch the other NHL games. I just get so discouraged when I see Boston in the semifinals. Because like I've mentioned so many times, I think the Rangers are a better team than Boston, I think. And it just drives me crazy when I see Boston in the semifinals, taking Tampa Bay 7 games in the series, and it just drives me crazy. So, you know, this is a good time to talk about the Rangers, and which is my favorite sport. And you'll never hear me talking about another sport on your show. I can promise you that. Quickly on Bugard about when I found out that it was from OxyContin, I actually took that when I had my shoulder surgery. My doctor put me on that and on Percocet. I was taking both of them, believe it or not. And it's a small little pill, but it knocks you completely out. I could see how people can be addicted to it, because a few times I took it and I was as high as a kite, and my shoulder, when it would wear off, my shoulder would be screaming. But, you know, when I was on it, I mean, I felt like I could, you know, go out and play hockey right then and there. So I can definitely see how somebody could become addicted to that. You know, it sucks. Like you said, 28 years old, you know, really a lot of life left in him, and it's a shame. But, I guess we move on from here. You know, you were talking about the Atlanta situation. I was actually in Atlanta. Marion Hossa was still on the team, so probably 4 years ago, Yager was still. It was, I think it was the year they actually played them in the playoffs. It was Shanahan's first season.
Yeah.
And they didn't even sell out for a Ranger game. I mean, it was pretty light even for a Ranger game. I thought, I was actually surprised when I went down there and I saw the amount of people in the stands. I was anticipating a lot more.
Can you tell those kids you're on a radio program?
I mean, this is a professional broadcast.
Every room I walked into, he's followed me in, so I had to close the door.
You know, if you were on the phone with on WFAN right now, would those kids be yelling in the background?
Yeah, I'd probably be cut off by now, though. Well, they wouldn't be talking hockey anyway on that show, so
right.
I wouldn't be calling in there anymore. But anyway, needless to say, I went down to Atlanta.
I hope you know that.
I went down to Atlanta, and it was like a ghost town. So, you know, it stinks to see a franchise move again. But you know what? I know. Listen, Canada gives the sport the respect that it deserves.
Right.
And I hate to say it, with the exception of Detroit, probably Minnesota, probably Buffalo. Even probably the Bills are more important. But in the United States, hockey gets pushed to the backside all the time. And that's what bothers me. And you know, and then when these people tell you that they don't care about hockey in New York, and these talk show hosts say that nobody cares about hockey, you know, it drives me wild when things are said. So I'll tell you now, if I was my team in Atlanta and they were doing that, I would have gotten everyone I could possibly do it, even if they didn't like hockey, at that rally to save that franchise. But, you know, whatever.
Well, let me address your first point about Boston being, you know, the Rangers being better than Boston. I think the Rangers played Boston really well this year. I mean, you know, very tight one-goal games. I think they had a victory down the stretch.
Other than Chara, Jimmy, Eddie, who scares you on Boston?
Nobody scares me. I like some players, you know, Lucic. But, yeah, there's not a guy like we got to stop
him. The other three teams that are in the finals, though, and compared to the other four semifinal teams, they have – I mean, Chara is their only difference maker as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
well,
on paper –
I mean, you know, yeah,
right.
You know, I know what you're saying. With the front line and the back, no, there's not a lot of guys who say, hey, you know, we got to watch this guy tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah. But on the Rangers, who do you got to watch?
Well, you know, you're right. I agree with you.
Lozado.
Lundqvist. Lozado. I'm actually glad you brought up Lozado because I had another point that I've been thinking about this week. And I have been watching.
Turnover?
I have been watching Vancouver, and I'm actually rooting for Vancouver for my own selfish reasons. Chris Higgins' father's a fireman, so I'm hoping if he says that if they win the cup, that they're bringing the cup to the firehouse. And I never got to see the cup when the Rangers won, so I'm actually wouldn't mind seeing the cup. So if the Vancouver Canucks win,
They're going to bring their cup to New York?
Well, Chris Higgins' father's a fireman. Chris Higgins is on the Canucks.
I know, but I don't know. I think that's a little. I don't know.
I think you're off on that one.
Who, me or Rock?
Yeah, like Margaret Hurley said, the cup's coming to Smithtown. We all gonna meet at the Sizzler.
I don't know. That's just my own selfish reasons. But I was looking at. A lot of the Vancouver defensemen are free agents. And the guy that's impressed me the most in this playoffs and probably throughout the season was Kevin Bieksa. And to me, that is the ideal defenseman that the Rangers are lacking. Now, granted, he's not a power play guy, so you wouldn't be bringing him in to quarterback your power play. You'd be bringing him in more as just a guy that, to me, he just seems to be very clutch. He's great. He's very good defensively. He's a tough customer. He'll push bodies around. I don't think he's that old. He might be in his early 30s. I just think that He's just what the Rangers are lacking in, on the back end. And if, God willing, you can, if you bring in Richards, then a quarterback on the power play is not as, as much of a priority. So he, to me, he just seems like an ideal fit. He has two game-winning goals in the playoffs. He just seems very clutch, and he just seems, to me, something that the Rangers are lacking on their back end. A kind of a calming presence back there, and just a guy that that just seems to get it. You know, he just seems to have all everything that the Rangers are lacking. I think he seems to have. And I'll tell you, it's a great, great. There's a great crew of UFA defensemen coming up this off season. So, you know, just something to chew on that I, you know, I've been thinking about it this week.
On the real quick, I looked this up. On the subject of attendance, Thrasher's attendance, who do you think, who do you think had more average, better average attendance at home, the Thrasher's or the Coyotes?
I'd say the Coyotes.
I would say the Coyotes, too.
Thrasher's.
Really?
Wow. How about the Thrasher's or the Islanders?
Thrasher's.
Eddie?
Island.
Thrasher's. How about the Coyotes or the Islanders?
Coyotes.
Eddie?
I'll go with the Coyotes.
Coyotes. By now, listen to this. The Coyotes had 40 home games, right? Now, instead of 41, because they opened the season, I forget where. But they only had 40 home games, right? The Islanders had 41, because nobody wants to see them anywhere. The Coyotes outdrew the Islanders by 35,000 fans with one less home game.
Wow.
The Islanders were last in attendance, total attendance, last in average attendance. 11,059 is their average attendance. Explain to me again why they're getting, why they want a new arena in New York. Explain that to me again. Explain to me again why we're so desperate to keep them on Long Island.
Why do they have to save that team? Come on!
Listen, I don't want the Islanders to move either. I mean, I like the rivalry, but to ask the taxpayers of Nassau County when the taxes are already exorbitant, I don't know if anyone in the chat room is in Long Island, but the taxes are ridiculous in Nassau County and in Long Island in general. And for them to, for Wang, who supposedly has all this cash and all this money that, that he's throwing around, now granted he feels that he's been losing money, I don't feel that, the building should be totally funded by the taxpayers anyway. And like I said, it doesn't matter what the building is. It has to do with putting a winning product on the ice, period. They haven't done it. And they can say, oh, we need to attract free agents. Well, it's not about free agents. You're finishing in last place every single year. You should have prospects dying to get up here. They should have. They've been finishing in last place for what, 10 years at least, maybe more than that. Other than Tavares, how do they not have that one big elite hockey player to build that franchise around?
And I don't think Tavares is. I don't think he's going to be an elite hockey player.
No, I think Duchesne was going to be better. I think Duchesne's going to be a better player, and I think.
I hate to say this because it is blasphemy to actually promote or encourage any kind of Islander improvement, I think he's going to be better than the Duchesne. That's the way I look at it.
I don't.
If he's playing with two clowns like, I mean, Matt Molson's an overachiever. He's a decent hockey player with P.A. Parenteau, and I see every year he's getting better. In a place where it's sad to play. It is sad to play at that place.
You cannot look
forward to coming to work if you can play for the New York Islanders. The Islanders should be stripped of every record, they should be stripped of everything. It's disgrace. They talk about Phoenix, they talk about this, Winnipeg, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, they got a team in New York that nobody cares about. They're last in it. Were they dead last in attendance, Jim? Is that what you're telling me?
Dead last. Zero.
Dead last.
Point zero.
I mean, it is ridiculous. You don't deserve it. I know you want a rivalry, Rock, but they don't deserve a franchise. The fans have abandoned them. Nobody cares. That's the bottom line. And now they're going to be a
finance. Where were the Devils? Where were the Devils on that? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I apologize.
Not you better be sorry, because I'm not done. Now, I mean, it's a ridiculous that, and you're right. They, you know, they drafted a lot of buffoons. They traded a lot of buffoons. Thanks, Mike Milbury. They don't deserve a team. The people don't want them. You know, hockey on Long Island is fairly popular. There's a lot of kids playing hockey, but none of them are going to see the Islanders. And I'm pretty sure, now, Mandel could double-check me on this, or one of you guys can. I think they've only won three or four playoff series since they lost to Edmonton in the Cup. What was that, 1984, 85?
Oh, yeah, that's probably
the
right. They had
the before
they
had won the Cup.
Right.
David
they had
Bollock,
that one
David Bollock's goal.
Yeah, when
yeah,
they won
that
Pittsburgh and
fate
triple,
in 30
four
years.
Overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they won two or three series that year, but when I can't remember another year they won.
No, they've lost in the first round every year since then.
They are terrible.
I know it's sad to say. Actually, it's not sad for me, but I know some people feel kind of nostalgic at Rangers Islanders. It's not the same anymore. The Ranger Devil games mean more to me. That place is a shithole. It's disgusting. Every year, as Mandar said, they slap a new coat of paint on that and say, here we go. It's a carnival. It's a circus. It's the Cham and Wang, that whole thing. It's got to be knocked down. Put a team in that deserves it. Last, and these Islander fans will come in and try to whatever.
Guys, stop PMing me because I'm trying to boot the fucking guy.
and you got my
screen all frozen now. Hold on, I'm working on it.
You jackasses.
There, he's gone. Sorry, I apologize. I gotta see if I can give. Sorry guys, sorry about the chat room. Let me see. Go ahead, talk for a second. I want to check something out here. I want to see if I can give somebody. If that happens, like Mario's telling you, left click on his name and then just click ignore, and then you won't see any of his posts. I was trying to see if I could give somebody chat room moderation privileges. But I can't do that because I try and watch the chat room, but I don't always, we could talk in them.
But do you want a show?
Yeah.
Huh? What's that?
Simple radio.
Simple radio show.
Now, okay, so.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Finish your thought about the Islanders.
Finish your point. I'm done with it. They don't deserve anything. You're last. What was the average? What was the average? Give me the numbers.
11,059.
That is fake.
And
that was not even 11,000. That's when they beefed it up, too.
And think about it, right? Their total attendance for the season, okay, 453,456. How skewed are those numbers because they get three home games against the Rangers that help them fill seats, three games against the Penguins that help them fill seats, the Flyers that helps them fill seats? You know, The Rangers' numbers will be exactly the same whether or not anybody shows up to root for the opposition or not. The numbers will be exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be a stretch to say that those numbers are probably inflated by 50,000 to 75,000 because of opposing teams' fans going there. Hell, they had. What if they have 1,000 people come down from Quebec? Remember that?
It
was like 1,000 people. But and think about it. Here's something else to think about. People talk about how hockey can't survive in the South. How, the Panthers are so bad. And, I've gotten on the Panthers a lot of times for their attendance. But you know what? They were 22nd. 15,685 average a night.
Jimmy, where
bad.
Were the Devils?
That's respectable.
Devils
That's respectable.
Are you know what? The Panthers were ahead of two teams in the New York area. Two.
I mean, the Devils are another great example. I mean, they have a brand new building, and they're still in the bottom echelon of the league amongst attendance.
Yeah. And how inflated are their numbers? Because of the Rangers, because of the Flyers, because of the Penguins, a little, maybe,
I'm sure they're very inflated.
No?
Boston, I mean, I'm sure a lot of the opposing fans come in and watch these games. I mean, the new arena is, to me, is meaningless. It's about you said it perfectly, I think, in a conversation we had a couple of weeks ago. Look at the Mets. The Mets are the perfect example as far as you bring a new arena, a new stadium, they're going to come for the first season. This is so nice. When the team hits the skids and they stink, they're not going to be able to give tickets away. And that's just the way it is. It's not about your building. It's about, oh, we don't attract free agents. You don't attract free agents because your team stinks. You don't know who wants to play there. Let's be honest. Well, we don't care because our building, we don't attract free agents. You're telling me the Rangers, the MSG, which is the second oldest building in hockey, is that much more elaborate? It's not. The people want to come to play for the Rangers because they're, well, in the eyes of hockey players, it's MSG is a prestigious place to play. You know, and you know, they want to come because they know the Rangers are going to do everything in their power to win. Can you say that about the Islanders? I can't say that, and I'm not a fan, but even the Islander fans know it. They stink. They can't draw flies because the product on the ice is poor.
And Rock, I want to ask really quick before we let you go, because we got to get some other calls on it. We're only on for an hour and a half tonight. Did you guys both see that Doug Waite retired?
Yes.
Yes.
You saw that today. But they held a ceremony for him. The Islanders did. And they named him an assistant coach. He's going to run the power play. Don't you think – did you think that ceremony and all that pomp and circle – wasn't it – did you think that was a little much for a guy that played 100 games for them and scored 12 goals?
Yeah, he didn't even play this almost this half this season. He barely played.
Yeah, go look at his numbers. The guy played 105 games as an Islander. I mean, Doug Waite
–
Good's a very good player. We're not talking about
yeah,
this isn't like
yeah, great career, really good career. I guess a great good career, very good career.
Yeah,
but
one
I
of
mean,
the best
forwards
the Rangers ever drafted.
Yeah,
yeah, and Mike Keenan didn't like him.
But you know, the Islanders gave him like he was bossy.
I know, it's amazing.
You know, they rented out this big hotel room. They brought their banners. They did the whole bit. The guy played 100 games for you. What do you?
They need to get
a GM. What do you expect from an organization that makes one of its greatest players sit in the blogger's box? Pat LaFontaine, right? What do you expect?
Well, they're probably mad at him because he does work with MSG.
Well,
yeah,
he wasn't at the time, though.
Oh, no? Okay.
No.
Wait till Bruno Gervais' ceremony, which I'm looking forward to.
That'll be
very quickly, did you guys see the contract they gave Oposo?
No,
I didn't see that.
Please tell
Oposo
me.
Oposo got a 5-year deal. I think his average is a little – I think if I – and I could be wrong, and I should have pulled up the numbers before I walked out, but I saw it on Twitter yesterday. It was around $3 million, put it that way. 5 years, roughly somewhere in the vicinity of $3 million. I'm telling you, if I'm Callahan and Dubinsky, I am furious with these guys signing these contracts.
Because
of them have had better years, both Grabner and Oposo. And Oposo was hurt for most of the season, but they both had better seasons than Callahan and Dubinsky. And
I'm assuming he was an RFA.
Correct. Yes.
A really fugly free agent.
Oh God.
Yes.
That's
he's
the truth.
One of the ugliest hockey players.
Him and Tyler Kennedy.
Oh. Captain Caveman.
What? You lock up this guy? I don't know. 5 years for him? For this guy?
It. Well, they have big hopes for him. You know, he's shown flashes, I guess.
I don't know.
I can't believe these guys are signing. I would like to do anything not to play there. Anything, whatever it took. Seriously.
Tavares is digging a tunnel out of there as we speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. down in a tunnel with Kinch and Richard Dawson.
Yeah.
All right, Rock, listen.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
Right.
Good talking to you. I'll talk to you next week. Be good.
Be safe this weekend.
Thanks.
Later.
Jim, I don't know if you've heard this. I know we'll take the next caller, but to spend some Volsky talk that perhaps Volsky will be traded at the draft in order for the Rangers to move up. So I guess we'll keep an eye on that. I guess rather, you know, we did talk that they were probably going to maybe buy him out. I don't know how much Wojtek Volsky moves you up in the draft or gets you a pick. maybe an extra pick. Do the Rangers have all their picks this year?
The Rangers have just announced they've traded Voltek Volsky and the 15th pick in the first round of the 2011 NHL draft for the 18th pick in the first round of the NHL draft.
And Ethan Werick.
Yeah, Ethan Werick. Oh, my God.
So the Polish sausage, maybe, I don't think he's going to be on a team, Jim.
Honestly, you know what? I'm not going to say I'm going to get all heartbroken. You hate to give up on a guy that young who's got good hands and does have talent, which we've seen it. But I think we could say that we saw enough of his game that to probably say that he doesn't fit the Tortorella mold of a player. We did a show, I think, right after his first game as a Ranger. And the first thing I said was, the guy kind of loafs around his own zone. That's not going to cut it. I mean, that was like the first, and that was the first time I'd ever seen a guy play. He loafs around his own zone.
But eventually Tortorella's going to have to give in to these offensive guys that just aren't, you know, psychotic about their defensive responsibilities. In order for the Rangers to score goals, they're going to have to take chances.
But, well, I don't agree with you, but
for 60 minutes and look, hope for a shootout, and it goes to the playoffs. There ain't no shootouts. Somewhere he's got to. I'm sorry, I'm going off.
No,
but
okay.
Somewhere
right.
He's got to somehow, amend his philosophy to some more, safe as death, which he came in here, preaching. I don't want to see more rope-a-dope. I'm done with it. I love the effort, but it's very frustrating to watch.
And I don't disagree with you, but loosening the reins a little bit on the forwards as far as their defensive responsibility is one thing, but Volsky he meanders. He doesn't get involved in the play enough. The effort's not there enough with him. I think is more the point I'm trying to make. He's not a guy that looks like he's giving his all when he's on the ice. Not everybody's all is as much as everybody else's, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it was after his first game, and we said, "Well, what'd you think?" And I said, "Well, the first thing I noticed is he just kind of meanders around in his own zone, and that won't last. He won't be able to play like that, or he's going to find himself sitting." Or he won't be here. And he sat out a couple of games. He got benched a few times. So I think the more I think about it, you know, maybe they will try. But like you said, what does Voltek Volsky get you? 15 to 14 and a half?
Stanford Baseball said the Rangers don't have a third, a sixth, or a seventh. You know, maybe you get a sixth round. I don't know if he commands a third round pick.
But they got two twos, don't they?
Yeah.
And Larry Brooks is saying they should use one of those twos. They should dangle one of those twos in front of the Stars and try and get Brad Richards ahead of time so that they have the next month to negotiate with him.
Well, that's what Uncle Larry's saying?
That's what Uncle Larry's saying. Brooksy.
Hello, Larry.
Brooks Hanlon.
God, that guy's a cretin.
If you're just talking about trading away a couple of draft picks to get Brad Richards and maybe a low-level prospect, like maybe the Scott Stanger or something like that, to get Richards here, and then you got a month to negotiate with him and get everything. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not trading away any high-level prospects just to get this guy on the books for a month. Would you?
No. But I got a feeling, though, if they think, for a month, no. I don't know. It's tough.
But see,
draft picks are a tough thing.
And then on the other hand, we know Neuendijk is delusional for what he was asking for at the trade deadline. So who knows?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he wanted, what did he want? Callahan? He wanted Dubinsky, Callahan, Stahl. I think he wanted Harry Howell.
Harry Howell, Brian Leetch. Brian Leach's kids, the rights to his kids.
Earl Ingmar, he wanted Monty Hall.
Inga Hammerstrom.
Hardy Ashram.
Sheldon Danegeezer.
Dave Tartarin.
And Mandel Sherry.
Eisinger.
Lucien Deblois, who had played for the Rangers twice.
Yes, he was another one of those Espo cronies that he brought back for a second go around. Yeah, Lucien Deblois.
Yeah. So I don't know.
He could have Al Troutwig, Mario. He could have Troutwig for a song.
Al Troutface. So what do you think about, we got done talking about it, but maybe what do you guys think about moving, if they do realign the divisions, that Pittsburgh will be out of here and we'll get Boston more? I kind of like that.
I'd like to see Boston. Sure, why not? I mean, you've got
original
six. Well, and not only that, but you've got a natural New York-Boston rivalry, and that just feeds it. You know, I just think it would make for we don't have a rivalry with Pittsburgh per se. You know, we just hate them. You know, it's not like a
right.
You know, we only hate them because Crosby's on the team, and then you know we hated them because of Lemieux. You know, we don't hate the Pirates. We don't really hate. I mean, maybe Jet fans do, but as a whole, I don't think New York sports fans don't hate the Steelers. But you hate, you know, if you're a New York sports fan, you hate everything about Boston. So I think it's more
right.
natural to have them in the division. I think it'd be fun. Now, what they're also talking about is, I guess the NHL has informed True North Sports that if they do get a hockey team in Winnipeg this year, that there'll be no realignment this year, which means that teams like Washington, that they remain in Atlanta's division, which is the south? That's the southeast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what that means is that Washington and who else is in that southeast? Tampa and I guess Florida would have to make, or they're saying they'd have to make three road trips out to Winnipeg to play there, which I think is ridiculous. Why can't they just do like a baseball series? And Washington flies out to Winnipeg and plays three games over a 5-day stretch if you have to. I mean, why why penalize? I mean, really, why penalize? You know, not that I'm some Caps apologist, but why penalize the Capitals and the Lightning for Atlanta's trouble? You know, at least let them fly out there for 4 or 5 days, play a couple of games, and then let that be the end of it.
Right.
I don't think the rest of the teams in the Southeast should have to suffer because Atlanta can't support a hockey team twice.
Yeah, I definitely hear you on that. But you know, you're making sense, and
that's true.
That's where you and Gary Bettman part ways. This guy. This guy is a fumbler, a bumbler, and what rhymes with that? A tumbler? A crumbler?
Bumbler.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, this guy is just not, he doesn't even know, he doesn't even know about it if it's official yet, this moron.
Oh, he knows. He's just, everything's got to be shrouded in secrecy, you know, because he wants to make the big grandiose announcement. He wants to go stand before the wonderful people of Winnipeg and say, look what I did for you, Winnipeg. I brought you back your hockey team. Here they are. You know, that jackass. You know, he wants the hero's welcome in Winnipeg. That's what he wants. Meanwhile, they sent out, hear about that form letter they sent to Atlanta Thrashers season ticket holders?
What?
They said the NHL sent some form letter to, you know, we appreciate your support and we thank you. I mean, it was really patronizing and condescending. Exactly what you would expect from Gary Bettman. Exactly what you would expect.
All right. Now, I want to talk to you about this. Well, we got more callers, right?
Yeah.
I kind of want to get this discussion because apparently the Ryan Callahan negotiations have begun. Or it was reportedly the preliminary talks. It's been reported that they've begun.
Okay. Okay.
I want your guys' opinion and, your, of course, your esteemed opinion, Jim Schmiedeberg, my partner, and now co-owner of Blue Shirt Band and Radio.
That's right.
We're making millions right now.
On the payroll, ladies and gents.
On the payroll. We're making money, folks.
Hand over feast.
Yes. But anyway, what do you think about these scenarios? 3 years, $10 million. 5 years, $19 million. 6 years, $24 million. What do you guys think about that?
Now, are you just pulling these numbers?
I'm pulling these numbers out my.
These are from your sources?
Yeah, for my secret sources at HF boards, actually. But this is like some numbers.
Oh, well, if it's at HF boards, it's got to be true.
Well, no, I'm just saying, where did we, if he did offer these contracts. And keep in mind what Rock said. Okpozo and Grabner are not doing him any favors by signing for $3 million.
Right.
Where do you stand on that?
What was it? 3 years, 4 years, 6 years?
It was a 3-5-6. Three for 10, five for 19, 6 for 24.
I don't know if I'm giving him more than 3 years. But I don't know if he's taking.
Animals, beloved Ranger.
I don't know if he's taking less than five. Yeah, I get. 5 years, how much? 5 years, how much? $8 million? Five years?
Right now, we got a $5 million, $19 million for 5 years.
Man. All right. Well, for argument's sake, if you give him 5 years, 19, he'll sign 5 years, 19. And what are you giving Dubinsky? You giving Dubinsky more than Callahan? You giving him less than Callahan? You giving him more years? You giving him less years?
I give Dubinsky less money.
So,
what's
a guy like Mandar? What's the going rate for 20 to 24 goal scorers?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, you really, we got to look at this through the Ranger colored glasses that we all have. I think Ryan Callahan brings more to the table. So I would give him more than Streaky Dubinsky.
Brandon Dustinsky. I don't. 5 years. 5 years, 19 for Callahan.
Or say five for 20. It's $4 million. I would be okay with that.
But I think Dubinsky's got to be right in the same neighborhood. You can't give him a lot less, and you can't give him any much more, and the years have got to be, I think, similar. I don't know. Let's get some guys on the phone and see what they think.
Yeah, I want to hear what they're going to say.
Let's put Mandar on.
All right, we'll get him on. Put him on. I don't know what the number is.
704.
Okay. Great. Great. Well, not all that great. Man, you're on the show on Blue Shirt Band Radio with Jim and Eddie tonight. How are you doing there, Mandar?
Wow, my greatness factor has been downgraded?
I said great five times. I said not so great once. So
there's definitely a language barrier here.
Hi, Mandar, how are you?
How are you?
So weigh in on this, because you're usually pretty good at being, you're probably better than most of us at being objectionable, I think.
I'm very objectionable.
Everybody objects to him.
Eddie hit it on the head when he said about overvaluing our own guys. You know, you look at it in a vacuum and you say to yourself, would you pay a guy like, I'll take Dubinsky because I think he's a little bit more black and white. You take a guy like Dubinsky and you see what he's done for his 3-4 year range of career. Now, is that $4 million? Is he a $4 million player? For the Rangers, you know, he doesn't score more than 20 goals a season. We all like to think that he's got 70-point potential in him. But, you know, after 3 or 4 years, you're almost what you are on the back of your hockey card as a forward, right? So $4 million for that? No, not at all. Because you have he isn't a Staal, and people can talk about Staal's contract, but Staal's an all-star. Staal's recognized around the league as a shutdown, you know, upper echelon defenseman.
Right. He's
Dubinsky doesn't enter the equation in the top 50 forwards, I would tell you, in the NHL overall. You would probably find Brandon Dubinsky below the top 50. Now, the question is, would you pay him that much money? If he wasn't a Ranger and he got a contract like Kotalik got, would you have paid that amount for him? Would you sign him 1 year, $3 million, just looking at his stats, if you didn't know him like you did with Frolik? Frolov, who had basically similar stats in his career to Dubinsky. Now, we're going to talk about intangibles and everything, but bottom line is we got pissed off that we spent $3 million on a guy that, you know, granted, he slumped all year long, didn't provide what we wanted him to provide. But granted, you're going to get a hell of a lot more pissed off at spending $4 million for a guy that's going to be a 20-goal scorer, inconsistent player. Yeah, he's nice, and yeah, we think that he can possibly play on the second line and, you know, talk about potential, blah, blah, blah. But at some point, you got to realize that potential. And you're not paying for potential at this point in his career. So, you know, you have a guy that held out once already before, got a pretty decent raise. I believe he made a little bit more than Callahan or right in the same ballpark. Those two are always going to be linked together. They came up together. They, you know, they're faces of the franchise now.
Right.
But I'm sorry. I don't see Brandon Dubinsky right now as not a $4 million player. I'd love to think that he has the potential to be that. You know, and tell you what, I'm glad I'm not a GM because you know what? You got to pay him for a specific amount of years. If you believe he's in part of your young core, you got to lock him up when he has his prime unrestricted years. And so that's why these guys are getting the 4 or 5 year contracts at this age, is because you want to take away a few of their unrestricted free agent years. That being said, they figure that they got to pay a little bit more to make up for that. So being a GM on these negotiations isn't going to be a whole lot of fun.
Mandar, do you think that his holdout, you know, where he kind of cheesed off Sather a couple of years back, is going to hinder him in his negotiations with Mr. Magoo?
You know, I'd like to think it won't. But you know what? I really think all Sather has to do is just point to the obvious. Okay, Brandon, 2 years ago, 19 goals. Last year, 21 goals. And you're going into a negotiation. What is Dubinsky's agent bringing him, you know, to the plate and showing him what other 19 to 20 goal scorers make? How is he going to make his case that he's worth more than that?
Right.
He's a fine player, but right now in his career, he's a third line playing second line for the Rangers. But in the overall scheme of things, you know, if he's going to do it, he better do it. He didn't do it in a contract year, did he?
No.
And you know that the guys that are in their contract years are busting their asses to go ahead because they want to get that big payday. There's no more incentive for a hockey player than being in his contract year when he's looking for the big contract. Did you see that out of Brandon Dubinsky this year? Did you see this man playing for a $4 million contract? Did it seem like that to you? Callahan, it looked like to me, but I'm pretty sure Callahan's way.
Yeah, I think certainly Callahan, before the injury, improved a bit. But, you know, still in the big scheme of things, these guys aren't high goal scorers. And, You know, they're high goal scorers on the Rangers, you know, but not that they're high, but, you know, they're one of the five, or what do we have, 520 goal scorers this year or something.
Right. On that interchangeable forward team, then if that's the case, then the majority of Rangers forwards should be making $3.5 to $4 million a year. Because you figure they're all the same. They're all going to be, when Onisimov has to be signed, when Boyle again, you know, these guys are all the same player now. So now you're going to tell me that they all got to be signed around the same contract. Because, to be honest, I don't see how any of them can state that they're worth that much more or that much less than the others.
Well, yeah, I think this is certain. But go ahead.
I just want to say, there's no way to figure it out, but I wonder how much the 22 games that Callahan missed this season, how much that could have possibly cost him, because it's with his numbers this year, it's not out of line at all to say that had he played those 22 games, he may very well have been a 30 goal scorer and a six, you know, which would have put him at around 65, 70 points.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to hurt him. I mean, that's the game that he plays, and I'm sure that the Rangers would compensate him based on his game like that. I mean, Callahan is a guy that's improved every year. He, you know, whether it be, you know, just by goal scoring or by points, he's improved every year, and as opposed to me thinking about a guy like Dubinsky who's been level. And I'm not saying it's a bad level, it's just level. He hasn't shown improvement enough to think, okay, he deserves the salary of a 30-goal scorer, because I haven't seen any indication of him on the ice scoring those goals. You know, you want to make it, I mean, I think, did they do away with incentive-laden contracts? Like, if you get 30 goals, you get an extra whatever. I think they did away with those, did they not?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm sure the chat room will answer that.
I'm pretty sure they don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Which is a shame, because I know that they all want to keep it as team-oriented goals, but when you think about it, that's kind of a good incentive to happen. But it also does, I guess, spur on more individualism than a team concept. But that's the situation that they're in. I'd like to be able to think that if they were to lose a guy like Dubinsky, they could bring up another guy just like him, because I don't know that he's special. I think Callahan's special.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that goes into my thinking about, you know, what they're worth. I mean, if we lost Brandon Dubinsky, and I like Dubinsky, but if for some reason, he just wasn't happy with the contract, tell Sayers to trade him and say the trades him for whatever. Do we have somebody in there that can step in and take Dubinsky's role? And I think we have a whole bunch of guys that could do that. Until he stands out and becomes special.
A guy like Dubinsky is a lot easier to replace. I think we found out the hard way that Callahan isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to downplay. I mean,
I don't either.
But he hasn't matured into that player that commands over $4 million.
That's where the GM's got to make a decision, all right? Is he going to get there? Do we see indications of that? Or do we feel your value's here and this is as far as we're going to go? And then, you know, it's up to Dubinsky's, you know, advisors and himself to feel whether that's fair and reasonable.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Let's see if the Rochester Rocket gets his payday, as Stan Fischler calls him.
It just bothers me, though, in a contract year, he didn't significantly get better. He didn't push. I mean,
right.
I'm not saying he didn't push his effort as far as it goes, but I think that maybe we saw the best of what he can do. And again, it's not bad. It's a solid third line guy, but he's a third line guy.
Right.
You know,
agreed.
Yeah, you know, I agree. You know, as the off season gets further along, you kind of could step back from all the euphoria of the games, and you know, and then you look back at the stats comparatively to other players, and you realize, you know, if you're going to the bargaining table with the stats Dubinsky has, how could you ask for $4 million? I mean, you really can't.
No, I mean, it's a place to start from, I guess. But
I guess, but then if you look at Michael Grabner comes in with the Krylanders there, the Asslanders, and he gets 30 goals.
And he bent them over a table. And he bent them over because you watch other teams focus on Michael Grabner next year, and you see Michael Grabner get 14 goals, and everybody else laughs.
Exactly. That's what's going to happen.
You know, I mean, the guy had a great year, no doubt about it. Certainly earned to be one of the three finalists for the Rookie of the Year, but nobody cared. Nobody paid attention for that team.
Yeah,
and
because no one paid attention to anybody except
I overpay. You want to bring? We got a couple more calls on the line. You want to bring them
in? Yeah, bring
them
on. Let's go.
We got about 10 minutes to go. All right. We got Zach on here, who sounds like he's hacking up a lung. And then
Eric.
No.
And then I think that's Margaret Hurley, as I also put on the line.
Hello.
Hey,
so who's the returning champion?
Hello.
Who's what returning? What are you talking about?
You got a lot of us in the on the phone right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know that.
I'm just so out of it right now.
Yeah. Then why'd you call the
show down?
I wanted to listen. I wanted to chime in like the other week, but you ran out of time for me.
I don't want to hear this. I'm a college guy, and the finals are so tough. We all went.
The finals is over.
Zach.
All right.
What?
Do you have a dog?
No.
Have you ever had a dog?
No.
Do you know what those collars are that you put around their neck to keep the bugs away?
The flea collar.
Yeah, but what else do they keep away? Fleas and what?
Ticks.
What? What else? What did Margaret say, Zach?
Tick.
Pez.
No. Never mind. You went to college, Zach?
Yeah.
What does a clock do? It goes blank cock.
Tick.
What was that?
Tick.
What?
I'm not saying it.
Don't call this show when you're out of it. You got to come correct on this program.
You know I'm not out of it.
I know.
No, Margaret Hurley's always on point.
We don't blow up women.
Margaret?
What?
We don't blow up women.
That's all right. You'd be an equal opportunity
blower. This is in Iraq. We're not Al-Qaeda here.
See what you said? An equal opportunity blower. I know Jim, and he is, actually.
Jesus.
I wish I get personal here.
You blow one guy in a toilet in a bar and you get labeled for life.
I hope it wasn't at the Molly Wee. All right, enough of this nonsense. Now, 19,003.8. I think, and again, I don't want to be like cross-referencing another sport, but Dubinsky and Callahan are the Wright and Reyes of the Rangers. They're the core. They're what the marketing machine at MSG is going to use to focus upon, and I think that you have to be fair with both of them. Okposo signing for 2.8. Ooh, what does that mean? I don't know. I think you have a tier there. You have a three. You have a two-tier system. You have the first line with Marion Gaborik and other people, whoever they might be. Then you have a second line, Anisimov, Callahan, and Dubinsky, and you got to treat them fairly. And then you have your third line with Boyle and Prust and player to be named later. And then you have another line at the bottom. Who's coming up from Hartford? Beats the hell out of me. I don't know. So in order to keep everything on an even keel and to get that marketing appeal, they're going to probably have to treat them evenly. I don't think 3.8 is unreasonable. I think anything over that would be unreasonable.
Well, I think it'd be a public relations disaster if they try to undercut Ryan Callahan. They need to pay him and to keep him and make sure that, because he's the most beloved Ranger on the team right now. He's the heir apparent to the captaincy. Dubinsky somewhat too, you know, but I think Callahan's the real, you know, he's the real linchpin of, you know, keeping the fans happy, you know.
I absolutely agree, but how do you structure that? I mean, do you give him 3.8 and you give Dubinsky 3.5? What's the number?
Something like that, you know.
But what's the perception? Is the perception that the organization values one person over the other, when I think that what they're going to try to do is, and here's another thing too, and not taking anything away from Ryan Callahan, but in fairness to Dubinsky, in fairness to all of them, you know, Tortorella runs his lines like somebody with a dartboard, okay, and a target, or I should say, pin the tail on the donkey. Do you know who's playing with who night in and night out?
No.
Aside from the fact of people being injured and stuff like that. So the whole chemistry issue, everybody liked it when Anisimov, Callahan, and Dubinsky played together. Certainly when Ryan Callahan broke his leg, that changed the dynamic of everything. And I'm not so sure if it's on the ice as much as off the ice as well. So I don't know how you differentiate between the two, because there's Camp Dubinsky and there's Camp Callahan. And I think you got to keep both of them happy from a public relations standpoint.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I think you're right on point with that. And they may just do that. They may just give them identical, you know, contracts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that may wind up what's happening, you know. And like we've mentioned a couple times on the show, what the Islanders have done have hurt their chances of getting to that 4.0 million mark. Because, I mean, I watch Islander games sometimes when you know, when I'm not getting, if it comes between oral surgery and watching an Islander game, I'll pick
when
the Islanders.
If the view's what? Not on, you'll watch the Islanders.
Yeah, if the view is not on and Barbara Walters is not on, especially, because you know how much I love her.
You mean Dancing with the Stars? You know.
Your boy there won from Pittsburgh there.
He wasn't my boy. I always stick with a fat sister over a Super Bowl brother. You know what I'm saying?
Same thing. I was rooting for Kirstie too. But I actually forgot my point because we started talking about Dancing with
Islanders,
the Stars.
You're talking about Okposo, Islanders.
Oh, yeah. You know, Okposo, he said to Binsky, if you ask the five Islander fans, he's the guy that can score and, you know, is involved and all this. And he doesn't get first-line minutes. You know, he has been injured, though. So if he's getting that, you know, I'm telling you, I think it's going to be hard for these guys to grab $4 million now that I think about it. Maybe 3.5.
Yeah.
For both is what, you know, you look at. But then
3.8.
Yeah,
and like
so,
you said, tying him up for $19 million I would tie him up for 5 years. Like I don't know if it was either you or Jim said about getting a number of years into their unrestricted free agency. Keep them around, keep them as a core. I agree with that. And as far as the Islanders go, I think I hate to say this, but I think Capuano is really doing well there. Towards the end of the year, they started coming on. I went to a lot of Islander games because I go for free. I would never pay to go there. And, you know, I kind of look at it as a scouting opportunity because whoever the Islanders are playing, you know, the Rangers invariably will probably be playing within the next couple of days. So I always look at it like that. And, you know, I've been at the Coliseum on nights where you could invite in every public school, high school, for a 15-mile radius and still not fill the building, you know what I mean? crazy, absolute insanity. But I heard that Okposo's deal was sweetened with a couple of ice girls.
Oh!
They threw a couple of the girls in. You know, I'm a kid. I won't go there.
Well, those ice girls are frightening up close. And I'm no gem myself, but I've got the... I got some pictures, and they're good from a distance. But no, you're right though. You're right, and let's
Pacha
hope. It's good. It's good from, I guess, because you don't want Glenn saying that this is good because kind of like from the Ranger point of view, I want the players to get their just due, but I want the Rangers to have the most amount of cap money to sign the other guys. I think Anisimov signing will go real smooth because I think he just loves to be on the Rangers and has no idea I don't know what his agent's like. And Boyle, Boyle's a risk too. We don't know if he's a one-year wonder, And he played like it was a contract year, which Jim was talking about Doobie. Oh, I mean, Mandar, too, was talking about Doobie. Boyle played like it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just such a – there's so many balls up in the air, You got to juggle them all and see what's going to happen and see who's coming up. Are we anywhere close to getting Ryan Bourque and what was the other guy that we signed that was supposedly –
Chris Kreider?
Really... No. Yeah. What's his deal? Who are these guys are all going to be invited to camp, right? All the guys –
Yep.
Well, Chris Kreider said he's going back to BC, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The Ryan Bourque. So, well, we used to have Ethan Werrick, but now he's on Phoenix.
Yeah.
This is like the Ethan Werrick tribute show. You're out there. We mentioned you more than you'll ever be mentioned in Phoenix, I can tell you right
that's
now.
For sure.
Oh, listen, there's no left time left for me to audition or replace John Amarante.
What's going on? There's open auditions to replace John Amarante?
No, remember that thread on Hockey Future boards about John Amarante, and I said that I would audition for you and Jim?
The next Blue Shirt Band of Radio, you can sing a viewing party to the national anthem.
You should call at the beginning of the show, and that's how we'll start the show. Instead of playing theme music, we'll open with the national anthem.
Okay. You got it.
Okay,
no, sure.
Margaret.
Take care.
Thanks, Margaret.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we've come to the end of another Blue Shirt Banner Radio edition.
Robbie, are you still there? Robbie, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, just checking. Were you just... Why weren't you listening? Were you listening on the phone? You weren't listening on the computer?
No, I'm on the phone tonight.
Oh, how come?
I don't know. I was sick. That's why I didn't have time to go on the chat. I just thought I'd maybe just call and
lose
your phone.
You're sick? What's the matter with you?
I got a sore throat, and I have a very bad cough.
That's from all that smoking.
I was just going to say, it's from the 2 days of smoking.
I hope not.
All right, guys. Take care. I've got to mambo.
See you tomorrow
night.
Guys,
all right? Bye-bye.
See us tomorrow night, Robbie.
All right, tomorrow night. No name show. I'll be there calling in. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Good night, guys. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.
Good day.
Day in and day out. Oh, shit. That's absurd. I mean, from day to day, every fucking day, a problem. I don't know what the fuck you people do. I don't even understand any longer what the hell you're paid for. The simplest little thing. From here to there. Jesus Christ.
Good night.